Great play. Out on the Poles by Leon Russico, dedicated to National Drama Week, which is celebrated annually at this time by all those organizations, commercial and educational, that are interested in the theater. At the end of this program, we will tell you how to obtain a drama guide that will add to the enjoyment of the plays presented in this theater. Ara na Pog by Dion Gusito.
Oh, Paddy dear, and did you hear the news that's going round? The shamrock is forbid by law to grow on Irish ground. St. Patrick's Day no more we'll keep. His colours can't be seen. For there's a cruel law against the wearing of the green. I met with Nabatandy and he took me by the hand. And he said, how's poor old Ireland? And how does she stand? She's the most distressful country that ever yet was seen. They're hanging men and women for the wearing of the green.
Sure, there's an old Irish tune. Never seen a lot of bloodshed. Even in 1865, when Brusico sang it in London, it brought a storm of protest down about his ears. But in 1798, the time of our play, there was a twist and rope and sudden death in every note of it. But before we hear Sean sing it, let me refresh your memory of the story. The rollicking young Irish lad, Sean the Post, is in love with the sweet Colleen, Ara Mealish. Her foster brother, young Beamish McCool, head of the McCool clan, is hidden in her cabin. He's being hunted as a rebel by the English. Now, it happens to be Sean's wedding day, and an active day it is. Michael Feeney, who serves as process server, spy, and rent collector, has collected the rents from Beamish McCool's land, which are confiscated, and is proceeding with the money to the authorities. Beamish McCool waylays him and takes the money, which is, of course, his rightfully. Feeney suspects Sean the Post of the deed, since Sean had driven him in his postcart and knew he had the money on him. But here we are before Alice's cottage, as Sean comes joyfully along the path to his bride's door.
This is my wedding morning. Sure, my breast is so big in my heart this minute that I feel like a fowl with a first egg. The gutter in the same love brings a man out into a fine perspiration, long life to it. Ah, there's Ara's cabin. The oyster shell that's got the pearl of my heart in it. I wonder if she awake. If you're sleeping now, don't answer me. But if you're up, open the door softly. You open the door softly, somebody wants to hear. Give me a treat no wider than you fill up with your ear. Or if your heart is here and dear, your mouth will do as well. Just put your lips in the crack and hear what I can tell. It's the pig that's got loose.
Let me go, Sean, dear. Hear me, sir. Let me go.
First, I'll give you the coward blow. Come here, you vagabond, till I hit you under the nose with me mouth.
Thank you, villain. Now isn't this pretty treatment for a lorn woman?
Well, you'll get no better now, I warn you, so don't go marrying me this blessed day with extravagant expectations. You'll have to live from hand to mouth. And when you're out of temper, I'll set me face again, you know, mind that.
You're mighty early, Sean. Didn't you say that you had to drive Michael Feeney last night?
Sure enough. But he got down at Glendalough to walk across the hill.
Well, and what brings you there at all? Did you think anybody was wanting to see you?
Yes, indeed, says I. There's that Colleen all alone with a cow to milk and the pigs to feed and the chickens. I'll go give her a lift.
Is it like the honey clover you've been? forgive the smell of it on your tongue. Go on, I tell you. Drive the cow up from the field below, and maybe when you're back, I might have a hot quick meal cake on the griddle to stop your mouth with.
There's a griddle in the middle of your face, Ara, that has a cake on it, always warm and ready to stop a boy's mouth.
You want me to make you, you provoke, and get along with you. Oh, John, my heart goes with him to sit beside the fire of her ambition.
Has he gone?
Oh, I'm not kidding you. It goes sore again to be disturbing the poor boy this way. And it does it to let him know that it's yourself that's in it.
Ah, my dear Ara, if I were discovering your cabin, you know the penalty you'd pay for the children protecting you off of the rebels.
Arthur, but sure, John would lay down his life for you.
Is it not enough that you should live with a halter around your neck without including Sean's foolish head in the same rope?
And would they hang him for only knowing that you were here before?
I would say both you and him together.
Oh.
And all this day is your wedding day. That's not the sort of new teach but to get into.
Forget it is not.
Then don't deceive yourself. While I remain here, you and I are standing under the same gibbet. So hold up your hands there.
What?
What's this? I can't believe it. The marriage portion you will be so enchanted this day.
Thank Lord. But how will I tell John that I came by so much money?
In 3 days, I shall be in France. Till then, answer no questions. Then you may tell him all.
Well, I promise. And he'll never forgive me. It'll be a sore place with him again.
I'll engage you'll find a way of drawing the pain.
Yes, I've a notion I will.
Right now, I must return to the afternoon up in the barn, where I roost under the thatch, where my only companion is the cat.
Sir, why have I not as many lives as the safety had? I'd give the whole 9 of them for your sake.
Aye, and I know it. And now, Ara, to be gone and God rest you till I see you again.
Going away to the wild wars with death and danger by the wayside. Will I ever see him again after this night? Oh, my brother, may the sweet angels of heaven put out the fire of the guns and turn away the bayonets from his...
Ara, where's Sean?
Who's that? Oh, so it's you, is it, Michael Feeney? Well, how would I know where Sean is?
As you know, Ara, as I came in the top of the hill beyond, sure I saw you both in this pot colloquial together.
Oh, did you now? And I hope the sight was pleasant to you, sir.
And as I turned the corner there, I saw the tail of his coat as he went inside the cabin.
Oh, it's like a beam, Mr. Paul.
Ara, it's a bad luck to come me entirely this day. There's yourself that I love with all my heart.
Well, that's not saying much.
And this blessed day I'm going to be robbed of you.
I hear you.
Sean, is it? Do you think I'm ashamed of his love for you?
No, but I am. I wouldn't like him to think so mainly of me as to feel that you love me.
Well, I'm a poor thing entirely. Bedad, one would think that I was a disorder that was catching. But maybe you're a pinty owe you made to a little of me. For I can wait, bedad, and I can wait. And to him that waits, their time comes round. And when my time comes, I'll make you feel a little of what I feel now.
Sure, Sean heard them words. You'd have to answer for your life.
Let him answer first for my money. This morning on Derriborn, not 5 minutes after I left his car, I was waylaid and robbed by 20 blackguards that lay ready for me. Who would Sean knew that I had the rest of the coals in my pocket? Who would he knew the hour and the place where I could be caught?
Robbed and by Sean? What could he want with your dirty money?
He'd want it for you.
Look here, man. You see this money? It isn't money we want.
What's that?
Look. 10 and 5 and 10 again and 3 and 5 once more. Look, that's right.
Oh.
I know the sight warms your heart.
Oh, can you believe me?
I thought I'd astonish you.
You had to tell me the 2 hours ago I was robbed of a little more. Would you let me look again?
Oh, look and feel. Don't you long that they were yours?
Yes. Here's your name on the back.
Now, you see, we don't want your money nor your company either. Here's your roll and it's waiting for you and good morning to you.
John is one of the gang that robbed me. Give him the doubt of it. I'll swear to him not. And there he is inside this minute. Hey, there he is. Now I see him through the keyhole.
Do you? Well, and do you feel of your spying vagabond?
John, John, I thought... I mean, I... aren't you inside the cabin?
No, I don't find it convenient to be in 2 places at once. Now, Mr. Feeney, listen to them and take a friendly warning. This day will make me master of the cabin and all that's in it. And if I find your nose in my keyhole again, by the horns of the devil, I'll leave you nothing to blow with for the rest of your dirty life.
John, dear.
Oh, it's only a mistake. I thought Sean was inside there with yourself, Ara.
Didn't you tell me he was?
No, I didn't.
I was thinking you said that he gave you all the money he showed me.
What money is he talking about?
Ah, never mind him. Come, John, dear. Pay no attention to him.
Why, be frightened. There's a man hiding within that Sean knows nothing about. It was he and not Sean that gave the money. It was he that robbed me. Oh, Aramides, I have you now. You despise me, do you? Well, I'll bring you down to my feet, low as I am. I'll show you to all the neighbors with your fine lover hiding in your cabin. And we'll see what life you what he'd like best round your pretty neck. My arms are the felon's rope, me jewel.
Come now, Michael Feeney. When you and the devil have done Cologan together, I'd like to see the full front of your back.
Well, the top of the morning, dear boy.
May sweet bad luck go with you. And that's my blessing on you.
Ah, never mind him, dear. It's true what he said about the money. And here it is, son. It's a present I got on my wedding day.
What's this? Oh, pretty Mulligan. Banknotes. And have you found a crock of gold full of banknotes? Or did you catch a leprechaun and squeeze this out of him between your finger and thumb?
Sure, it's one of the good people that give it to me. And he told me not to tell you one word about it for 3 days. In the conditions I received it with it.
Well, that's an easy way of raising money. 3 days. Can you get any more of it on the same conditions? Make it so, my dear, and divil a word I'll ask. But I'll open my mouth and shut my eyes and let it roll around without a wink. Powders of war. Now, what am I marrying at all? Beauty and wealth, no less. Oh, it's my belief that you're a fairy born and bred. Your mother was sweet Venus herself, and your father was the Bank of Ireland. Oh, it's Colonel O'Grady and some of the wedding party from Lara. Oh, good night to you, sir. And now, John, what's the good word from you? Well, Your Honor, seeing the sweet lady that's by your side, I can think of nothing else but more power to you and long life to entire. Thank you, John. And may this day, which will change the name of your bride, never change the heart of Aaron Lepore.
Aaron Lepore? That means Ara of the Kiss.
Well, don't you know why she is called so?
No.
Tell her, Ara.
Oh, sure, I do be ashamed, sir.
Ah, what for? It's proud I am of the kiss you gave, so it wasn't myself that got the profit of it.
Oh, indeed. And who was the favored one?
See, Miss McCool, miss. Her come daughter. I mean, her foster brother, that is. It was 4 years ago. He was lying in Wicklow Jail the day before that he was hanged with the rest of us in regard to the rising.
He escaped from prison the day before his execution.
True for you, miss. The boys had planned the means of it, but they couldn't scheme any way to get him in the office because no one was living to see the master, barring they were searched. Mm-hmm. And then they couldn't only see his face at a peephole in the door of his cell.
Did Aaron succeed in conveying to him the necessary intelligence?
He did. Being only a gory little creature that time, they didn't suspect the cunning that was in her. So, she gave him the paper in spite of them, and before their very faces.
How so? You say they searched her. Did they not find it?
No. She rolled it around and put it in her mouth. And when she saw her foster brother, she gave it to him in a kiss.
That's why they call me Erin Nicole. No one but a woman would have thought of such a post office. Ah, it's a poor thing I did for him that's done so much for Sean and me. You owe to him every foot of land that gives us bread and the roof that covers us too. There isn't a hill but the house that belongs to him.
Well, John, I suppose you and Ara will want a magistrate's permission to keep open house tonight.
Yes, Your Honor.
You shall have it. Patty.
Yes, sir.
Put a keg or two of liquor on the car. If I can't attend in person at your feet, I'll be there in spirit anyway.
Authorities decided to raid the cabin that night. Of course, this would have to be the night of Ara's wedding to Sean. Let's look in at the wedding and see what happens. The guests have just arrived.
Ah, kind welcome to every mother's son of yours, and a warmer one again to every petticoat. Bad luck to the first that leaves the house, barring that he doesn't know any better. There's lads glasses of meat inside in good liquor galore, and him with prayers much there I look upon as my enemy. Oh, Pat Ryan, leave that girl alone till the grace is safe. In with yours, you're as welcome as the flowers in May. Nora Canavan, now don't be provoking the boy before he's able for you. Ah, Tim Connolly, isn't you looking with two girls at the time you are? I'm looking at you. Walk in, me darling, walk in.
Are you gone, Master Dean?
No. From my trap door on the roof above, I can see men on the road below. Who can be watching this place?
Oh.
Oh, surely they cannot suspect my retreat here. Who could have betrayed me?
Oh, from the roof of the barn, you can reach a tree. And by its branches, you can climb to the rock above.
Oh, I won't try that except as a last experience. Oh, Ada, if I were caught here, what would become of you?
Oh, never mind me. Save yourself.
Well, come with me. I must be at Celeborg in 2 hours from this time. But don't let me detain you from the feast. Goodbye, Ada. We may not see each other again. To heaven bless and preserve you. Goodbye, dear Ada. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye. Ah, he's gone. And so they're hunting the life out of them. I am dancing and marrying and laughing, with no more feeling in me than if I were a wet sort of turd.
Where are you, John? Is it all alone we are for a blessed minute? I have you all to myself, my darling. My own that you are now. Oh, murder, when I look at you, so clean and neat and pretty, what a stick you are for a bit of shiny on the chimney piece of the quality in the drawing room. And not for my dirty cabin. How did you come to live a poor, ignorant creature like me?
Oh, honey, darling. Don't speak to me that way. Don't make so much of me.
Miss Fraser, why, if there were a diamond as big as yourself, it'd be a poor thing beside me. Oh. What's the matter, dear? You're crying, you are, darling.
Oh, no, no. Don't ask me.
Well, I won't, dear, of course. Why would I? You see, I'm not used to the soft and tender ways of women. And if I'm rough or wrong anyway, won't you tell me until I learn how to behave? Oh, Kushla, I do be afraid to go near some girls for fear of spoiling their new and beautiful clothes. But I'm afraid of touching you for fear of spoiling the bloom on your fresh and beautiful soul.
Oh, when I listen to you talking to me that way, you make me feel ashamed of myself, Kushla.
Miss Garland. Here's a good example to be thrown away among you. Boys, when the bride gets her first kiss, sure it's a kiss all around. More power, you girls! His old Tim Sogan of Ballymore, as he set the floor against any female of his age and six in the county. Well, for the honor of County Wicklow, isn't there a pair of brogues under a petticoat that will stand up against the county Kildare?
Come on, Tim Sogan, till I catch
the seat on you. There's now your referees. Catty, darling, let me lead you out. What shall be the tune of the pony?
Bloody old gas.
That's a daisy. And it's yourself that will allow the team Cogan and I'll go bail. Will you take us up first, or will you dance dry? There's a £1 note among the fiddlers if the lady is pleased with the time of it. Now, you scraping thieves, pull out the plug and run it strong. Now, boys, one glass all around, and then I'd call upon Paddy Finch for a song.
Paddy Finch, come on, come on.
And your prayers, here he is. But not a note will you get out of him this night, driving at the snow. He's all but took.
Is he salted down entirely?
Come, John, for want of a better, we'll take a song from yourself.
Oh, no, I'm always a gentleman. With me, it's ladies first. I call on Ara. A song from Ara.
And my love I can never conceive. For they say there's a charm all about you. My darling, she's not on me. One nightingale sings in the wild wood, as if every spring knows that he's the land from your sweet voice in childhood to remind me, sweet Nora, of you. One born with pretty, with a piece of me from the fair at rain. When she saw me tumble, the picture is tumbled, and all the sweet bottom is the water to plain. Oh, what shall I do now? Who's looking at you now? Sure, sure, that the picture I'll never see again. Was the bride of my dairy, oh, body's a dairy, your hand has a plague to all the girls of Palrae. I sat down beside her, and gently beside her, that such a misfortune should give us such pain. A kiss then I gave her, and before I did leave her, she vowed for such pleasure, he's breaking again. I say, make me reason. I can't tell the reason. Misfortune will never come single his plain. Oh, very soon after, poor Kitty's disaster, there was not a sister found holy country.
Are you mad? Did you sing that song of the soldiers within gunshot? Oh, there's some definite note of it.
Never fear. We put a watch outside and sing it quiet.
Yes, yes. I'll put you to the rope if you're asking.
gibbering in the pharmacy at the fore. So out with it.
Come on. It's all right outside there.
Not a soul can hear you, Baron, ourselves.
The murdered alive. He's looking out.
Oh, Paddy, did you hear the news that's going round? The shamrock is by law forbid to grow on Irish ground. And Patrick Day no more will keep his colors can't be seen. For there's a cruel law against the wearing of the free.
The shamrock is for me, the shamrock is for me, the shamrock is for me, the shamrock is for me.
Oh, I met with Napa Tandy, and he took me by the hand, and he said how poor old Ireland, and how so she can. She's the most successful country that ever yet was seen. They're hanging men and women there for wearing of the green.
For Ireland's sons will ne'er forget the blood that they have shed. You may take the shamrock from your hat and cast it on the ground, but we'll take root and flourish there, so underfoot is blood.
The wearing of the green, the wearing of the green, for never the emperor who dares the wearing of the green.
When law can stop the blades of grass from growing as they grow, and when the leaves in summertime their verdure dare not show, then I will change the color that I wear in my cabin. But till that day, please God, I'll stick to wearing of the green.
The wearing of the green, the wearing of the green, but till that day be gone with this, the wearing of the green. Drop it all. Let no one pass. We're very sorry to spoil your diversion, boys, but
a robbery has been committed last night on Derrybon Hill, and we've received information that some of the plunder has been traced to this spot.
Well, is it a secret hereafter, sir? And if any such is under this roof, you're welcome to it.
No, Mr. Feeney. In due charge with having possession of the plunder.
That woman there, Aramili. Never fear, we'll find the money in her pocket. Let me search her.
Lay off, Figueroa, and I'll drag you.
Arrest that fellow.
Easy, Major. What would you do if a man offered to lay a hand on the woman you love? Give me the powers. I'd brain him first and warn him afterwards. Stanley, man, the thing is settled in a moment. We don't believe a word this fellow has deposed. But if Ara has any money, bank notes about her,
she has, sir.
You see that, Major? Then let us just look at them.
With all the pleasure in life, sir. Ara, dear, you need them notes you showed me a while ago.
But, John...
Now, don't be frightened, darling. Come now. Here they are.
The Bank of Knox.
And they're part of them that I was robbed of last night in Derrybourne. I swear to them. Look, and you'll find my name on the back of one of them. There. There, that's the one. You believe me now?
Well, Ara, where and from whom did you receive this money?
Why doesn't he speak?
I'm sure you won't refuse to tell us how you became possessed of these notes. After what you've heard, if you're innocent, as I'm sure that you are, you won't help to scream the thief.
There's silence. Well, then perhaps you'll answer another question. Where's the young man who has been concealed in your cabin the last 6 weeks? You hear me? I want the young man, your lover, the secret leader of the rebel movement in the Sabrehood, who committed this robbery last night and then shared with you the proceeds of his crime.
Sarah.
John, let me speak to you.
No, you are my prisoner. This girl must hold no communication with anyone here. Search this place.
I know every hall and corner in it. Come on.
Aramini. For the sake of that loving heart that's bleeding yonder, for the sake of those honest girls who stand bewildered by this charge against you, oh, for your own sake, speak out. See that no one's been concealed here. Leave your faith, girl, and say it's a lie. You desire, then, that all here should believe you guilty? You wish that Sean should accept your silence as a confession of your shame? And if ours, if all Ireland thought me guilty, aye, if I said the word myself and swore to it, he would not believe it is in his own heart, but knows me too well to doubt me.
He has escaped, but here's his court he left behind him. And look, here in the pocket is my pass that he stole.
Let me see. Yes. This evidence, Colonel, is pretty conclusive.
You see this, Ara? To reflect, my good girl, that a cruel and painful death is the penalty of this crime. I believe that you have screamed in some unworthy villain at the cost of your own life. Speak, Ara.
Oh, take me away. Don't I offer my hands to the iron? Why don't you take me away?
Stop! If he will not speak, I will. That coat there belongs to me. I robbed Michael Feeney of his money and gave the notes to Ara.
John, what are you saying?
Hold up your head, my darling. Who dares say a word again, you know? Yes, O'Grady, put it all down to me, if you please, sir. Now, don't cry, Acushla. Sure, they can't harm a hair in your head now.
Oh, John, what have you done?
You see how wrong you all were to be so hard upon us? She was as innocent as a child. Take her, Colonel. Quick, I say. She's fainted, the creature. Oh, there now. Get me away, Handy, before she's sensible, the poor thing. Major, is it again the regulation to take one kiss from her before I leave her? Maybe forever? Thank you.
So Sean, gallant lad that he is, to save Ara, confesses to a crime he did not commit, and is hurried off to the castle prison, even though it is his wedding night. If you think he'll get a fair trial, you don't know Michael Feeney, the informer. The courtroom of the old castle is crowded with Sean's friends. The trial is about to begin. Colonel O'Grady is friendly to Sean, whom he has known from a lie. But Major Coffin, the prosecuting officer, is not.
Ah,
will you
bring
your
stone?
Yes, please. Nobody here,
Richard Stone. Mrs. Walsh,
ma'am, would you mind taking
her
back here?
Nice help her in the mouth.
Order in the cart, order, order.
Dad, dear,
which is the cart, if you please?
It's in beyond in the gold lane. Oh, go on, where's the waiting? Sergeant? Is everything prepared? I'll be ready to try the prisoner.
Let the prisoner be brought into court.
All right, get out of that boys and make room there for Ara.
Stand back, Patty.
That's nice, Ara.
That's all your own.
Has the article of war constituting this court-martial been duly read? Well, then I think, Colonel, we may proceed.
Now mind what you're saying, Sean, darling.
Your name?
My name, sir? Are you joking? So there's this honor besides you can answer for me, long life to him.
You give the court your name, fellow.
Well, I'm not ashamed of it.
Come, Sean, my man.
Yeah, now, didn't I tell you that he knew me well enough?
John. That's the Irish for John, I suppose.
No, sir. John is the English for Sean.
What's your other name?
The other name? Well, I never did anything that I wanted to hide under any other name. Did you ever know me by his only as Sean?
He's called John the Post.
In regard of me carrying the letter bag by the car, Your Honor.
Now, prisoner, are you guilty or not guilty?
Sure, Major, that's what you're going to find out.
Don't confess, John.
Never fear, I'm not such a fool as they think.
Well, John, you've pleaded guilty to this charge of robbery and rebellion.
Well, O'Grady.
Prisoner must not presume to address the court with curt insolence calling this gentleman O'Grady in that familiar manner.
Your pardon, Major. You are not aware of our Irish ways. I am the O'Grady, the head of the sept. This man belongs to the sept of the McCools. And as your kings are called, without offense, by their Christian names, is George or William, our chiefs are called O'Grady or McCool. Pardon this digression, but the man gives me the title and no more.
Go on, my good man. I did plead guilty last night, true to you, sir. And so I was then, your worship. But I want to say that I'm as innocent as a fish this morning.
You wish to withdraw your plea?
I don't know, sir, but I want to do whatever will get me off.
Withdraw his plea. The prisoner pleads not guilty.
Oh, thank you kindly, Major. It's all over.
What is the fellow doing?
Oh, Major, now, sure, you wouldn't go back on your word. Didn't His Honor say fair and plain? He's not guilty, is he?
Order. Really, this must be stopped. The dignity of the court must be preserved.
Yeah, here's that wise. Preserve your dignity, you blackguard, till you get outside.
Now, Mr. Feeney, take your charge.
Please, Your Worship, I...
Stop. What's your name?
Michael Feeney.
Your business.
Well, Your Worship,
don't worship me, man, and confound me in your mind with the devil. Speak straight if you can. What's your dirty trade?
Sure you know well enough, sir. I'm an officer of the law, sir.
Yeah, I do know you well enough, but these gentlemen do not. Are you not a pastor's servant?
Well, I...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, an informer on occasion.
Well, I did.
Well, outward, yes or no?
Yes.
How many times have you been committed to jail?
Is it me that's on trial, Colonel? I saw on the porch.
Don't question me, sir. I want an answer. Come, how often were you in prison?
I just remember.
No doubt, but I don't. 3 times for perjury, once for theft, 6 times for petty offenses. And will I name the prisons and the length of the period of incarceration?
Well, I wouldn't act.
Yes or no?
No.
Now, go on. The court has your name and trade. You may proceed.
It's mighty hard, though, it is to be put upon this way, and me only doing the duty. Sure, Your Worship knows all I've got to say. It's the down in the imposition of him, the prisoner. Is it my fault if Sean confessed to the robbery? Did I put the idea into his head or the notes into his pocket? Then why am I to be crept down to betray my misfortunes underneath? It's mighty hard upon me entirely, so it is.
You come here to accuse a prisoner. Up, nibbling over yourself, and try your hand upon him.
Sure, Colonel, dear. Sean has accused himself.
Do you swear that the notes produced were part of your property?
I do, sir.
Prisoner, do you wish to ask this witness any questions?
I wouldn't be mean, myself, being seen talking to him.
Stand down. Now, Sean, we are ready to hear what defense you have to make to this charge.
And to recollect, John, you're talking for your life.
Oh, mind what you're saying now, darling.
Well, Your Honor, I can't say much. But if I'm to be found guilty on that trap swearing, it will be a wrong bill. The recorder knows him well and wouldn't sentence a flea for backbiting on that fellow's oath. Come out of that, Michael Feeney, and hear me. When St. Patrick drove all the creeping things out of Ireland, he left one serpent behind, and that was your great-grandfather.
This is not to the point.
But it's a mighty fine outburst of natural eloquence.
Go on, me man. Crush that reptile if you can.
Crush him? I'd ask no better. I've had him under me fist, but he's like some vermin you can't crush. They stick so flat in the dirt.
This is very irrelevant.
That's prejudice, Major. I never listened to anything more compact in the way of vituperation.
But abuse is not evidence. Have you any witnesses to call?
Civil one, Major. Barring the two, like to stand up for a poor by and trouble yourselves and say a good word for me.
And this case is closed. I think, gentlemen, that the facts are plain. We have but one duty to perform.
I'm for letting him off.
On what grounds?
The eloquence of the defense.
I regret to say that we cannot admit so Irish a consideration.
Well, gentlemen, I have private reasons for believing this man to be innocent, and you will oblige me in a particular manner if you will believe so too.
In defiance of our convictions, Colonel?
That will only add to the obligation, Major. I have given my word to a lady that I would get this fellow off.
You consider, sir, the debt of duty you owe your sovereign?
I do, sir. But a promise made to a lady is a debt of honor. And that is always paid before
tax. Gentlemen, your voices.
Ah, the pain that is in my heart.
Prisoner, the court having considered the evidence against you, having duly weighed the matters alleged by you in your defense, declares the charge made against you of associating and conspiring with rebels in arms against the peace of His Majesty in the realm, and also of the robbery with violence done on the person of Michael Feeney to be fully proven, and of the felonies aforesaid, you are found guilty.
Oh, Sean!
I'm sorry for you, Sean. I would have got you off if a majority of one against four would have done it. But you see, we are unanimous against you, my poor boy. So whether you committed the crimes or not, you are guilty. Mighty hard upon you to say so.
Colonel, permit me to remark that these observations coming from the court are subversive of its dignity.
Ah, Major, look at that poor girl that lies broken-hearted on the heart of the man she loves, knowing that there is not a day's light in the press she's clinging to. It's a hard duty that obliges a gentleman to put a rope around that boy's neck, while dignity forbids him saying he's mighty sorry for it.
Prisoner, we deeply regret the sentence which it is incumbent on us to pass upon you. But the court knows only its duty and the penalty ascribed to your crime. The sentence of the court is that you be taken hence to your prison whence you came, and tomorrow at daylight you suffer death. May heaven have mercy on us.
Well, Your Honor, I don't blame you, for you have done your duty, I suppose, to the king that made you what you are, a long life to him. And that duty is now to hang me. I have done my duty to the man that made me and mine what we are, and that's to die for him. I could do no more, and you could do no less. I dare say that you'd have let me off if you could. So God bless you all the same.
Move the prisoner.
Poor Sean, condemned to death on his wedding night. But all is not lost yet. Dean Spookool has heard that Sean is in trouble, and for a deed that Dean did himself. He decides to give himself up to the Irish Secretary of State and throw himself on his mercy. Colonel O'Grady also intercedes with the Secretary, with the result that a pardon is signed for both Dean and Sean. But, and what a big but that is. Can they get back with a pardon in time to save Sean? Meanwhile, high in a prison cell, his old castle is dying sleep. Sean awaits his execution. The priest is giving him the last spiritual consolation.
Oh, my son, may the Lord comfort you and have mercy in your last hour.
Your Reverend, I know, sir, that I've only a couple of hours to live, and I ought to be listening and minding what to say and turning my soul to its prospect. But my heart is too strong for me, and I can't hold back from thinking of the poor darling girl, the one that I'm leaving behind me. So I'm sure I'll try to attend and make myself fit to die. Yes, sir, now I'm listening. I won't speak of her for 10 whole minutes. Didn't you say that you saw her standing outside the prison gate as she came in? Poor creature. Outside. Let's only think of that. I think I see her hungry eyes looking through the bars. Bless her. Oh, I forgot. I ask your pardon, sir. I won't do it again. No, I'm not thinking of. I'm not.
Be of good cheer, my son. I leave you to your own cares now. But I'll be back, presently.
Ah, your reverence. Don't ask me to think of anything else for a while. In another hour, you'll see me again. And then my heart will break entirely.
I'll be back, my son.
Yes, Father. Pardon. Keep it clear. Seriously.
Yes. I saw her, John.
Oh, Sergeant dear, what a happy man you are. Ah, if I could only have given you my eyes. You saw her. Where is she, John?
She's sitting up on the watchtower just above here. Now, if that window were not closed with iron bars, you could see her. She's just over that corner of your cell.
High up on the top of the castle, where it climbs the cliff.
Yes, she said. Sergeant, would you order a fire to be lighted in Sean's cell?
A fire? But it's not cold.
So I replied, but she only repeated the same words, and I promised I would have it done.
Oh, my poor Ada. I know what she wants. So won't she see the smoke from the chimney above? And she'll know that it comes from where I am. Oh,
there, now. I leave you for half an hour. And if I'm obliged to refuse your girl admission to see you, don't blame me, Sean. It isn't duty and the regulations, you know.
Yes, of course it's your duty and you can't help it. I would do the same thing were I in your place. That's a lie, but no matter. It would be a comfort to him to think so. Now I can look at her. Yes, she is. She's me. I can hear the beating of her heart. Oh, it's you, that I hear. And it's all the same thing. Oh, Ada, jewel, if you could hear me, would you... That's it. Oh, and a bit of paper rolled around it. It came down the fireplace. It's from her, from herself. She's writing on it. Oh, that's why she wanted me to have a fire. Oh, God bless it, I'll skip that. Oh, the cunning of a creature. Oh, murder, now, what am I about? Maybe I'd rub it out. Now, let me read. Oh, what the things got in the eye. There, now, haven't you scared and done kissing one another yet? My darling, I am nearby you. Oh, but my eyes is hungry for you, Sean. I'm looking down to where you are now, reading this. I'm stretching my arms out. Oh, Sean, God bless you. And may he help you to find the heaven that I have lost in this world. Oh, Ada. My heart is broken entirely. It's okay. Just tired and let me know that she's there. She's there. She's there. She calls to me and I'm caged. Ada. Ada, I can't reach her. I can't kiss away your tears and hold her to my heart. Oh, the curse of trouble on these souls. The iron moves under my hand. The bars are loose in their pockets. The source of stone is helpless to me. Oh, murder. Could I push it out? I've gone. By heavens. It's done! I hear it thundering down the wall. Life was in the waves below. It's 100-foot tomb hall. She's calling me again. I'll go to her. The wall is old and full of cracks. The ivy grows again. I can climb up. It's death, maybe, but I'll die striving to reach my girl and take the gallows that's waiting for me.
Halt! Who goes there?
All right, that is only that girl up above there. She's a slave, some of the masonry.
All well.
Oh!
thought I had a queen in heaven. Arajul, listen to me.
Oh.
It's all over with Sean. St. Peter himself wouldn't save him now. And the whole county is up in arms against you and me. Let us leave it entirely. And if you put up with me, I'll help you to forget Sean.
Michael Keeney, I'd rather take the man that puts my bike at death this coming morning than have you, if you were rolling in gold and diamonds. Is that enough for you?
Will nothing bend your heart?
Nothing. It'll break first.
And what's that noise there? Wait. Something is moving over the face of the wall. There, below. It's a man climbing to this. Where? Come here. Come here, quick. Look down there. You see that form below clinging to the ivy and crawling, crawling slowly towards the spot. Did your heart tell you who it is?
Oh.
Sean. Sean, if your bite is drawn up to your side, crawling through the jaws of death.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my dear.
When I give the alarm, a bullet from the sentry will send him to glory in one plunge. Oh, no. This stone will pick him off.
No!
I told him his claim would come when I'd make you feel the sorry you had for me.
Oh, let me take
you. Not a word but one. Will you be mine?
Would you murder him?
It's no murder. Anybody has the right to kill a condemned to an escapement to me sentence. Break out and answer.
You mean, must I take you or see him killed under me eyes?
Will you have me?
No!
Then to the gibber with him. For you've spoken to his doom.
You'll not hurt him. I won't let you. You'll not. Down.
Take your dirty hands off of her, Michael Feeney.
No!
No, let me, darling. I'm all ready for the sleeping piper.
He's fallen into the lake.
It's a queen and he's long beneath.
Hello, who is it? Man has fallen from the battlements into the lake below.
It was Sean. The poor fellow is trying to escape.
He may be rescued yet. The Byzantine has attempted evasion. They put out in their boat to assist him if he
fell. Oh, heaven grant they may succeed.
£100 reward to the man that saves him.
It's a poor consolation to this unfortunate girl to know that here is Sean's pardon. It is just coming time to be too late.
He's got him. I saw him pulled out of the water looking like a drowned kitten.
Is he alive?
Oh, it's impossible. He can't survive the fall from so fearful a height.
Speak out, you thief, and tell me, am I dead?
Sean
himself, and alive.
Oh, how glad I am to see you.
No more glad, miss, than I am myself.
Oh, God.
Then who was fished up below?
It was Dean.
Feeney, I withdraw the reward.
Feeney, what induced the fellow to commit suicide?
I did, sir. He wanted me to go with him. But I hadn't time, seeing that I'm not half through my wedding yet.
He's recovered, but is washing his gun for the rest of his life.
Hang him out to dry.
John, then you forgive the sorrow I've caused you.
Bless you for it, sir. For without it, I'd never have known how Ara loved me.
Oh, my, I can hardly understand my senses. Is there nothing against him?
Nothing, Ara. He's free.
And he won't be kept away from me again, will he, sir?
No, the law has no further call to him or Beamish either. There's a free pardon for both.
Oh, do you hear that, sir?
I do, dear, but it's a mistake. It isn't a pardon that I've got. Instead of death, I'm to be transported for life. And it's yourself that's to see the sentence rightly carried out, my darling.
Oh, you've done nothing but what any woman in my place would have done. It's to the females of my own sex that I appeal in this case. Had any of you been in my place, would you have done a hatred less for the man you love? And you've done this night for Aaron McCoy.
But if at last our color should be torn from Ireland's heart, our sons with shame and sorrow from their dear old isle will part. I've heard whisper of a country that lies beyond the sea, where rich and poor stand equal, and every man is free. Oh, Erin, must we leave you, driven by a tyrant's hand? Must we ask a mother's blessing from a strange and distant land, where the heavy cup of sadness shall nevermore be seen, and where, please God, we live and die, still wearing of the green? ¶¶
have been listening to the famous old Irish play, Aran na Pog, by the Ion Gustico. Featured in the cast were William S. Rainey, who played and sang the part of Tran, and Irene Wicker, who played and sang the role of Aran. Colonel O'Grady was played by Wilmer Walter, Beamish McCool by Arthur Vinton, Major Coffin by Charles Webster, Michael Steeney, Harry Neville, Boyne Farrell, Eustace Wyatt, Fanny Power, Peggy Allenby, Patty, Selma Ritter, Andy Reagan, Walter Kinsella, Lanigan, John Carmody, the Sergeant, Charles Flattery, the Priest, Richard Gordon, Patsy, John McGovern, the Soldier, Bill Barry, and the McCool, who narrated the story, William Shelley. The orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Hunty, and the play was arranged and adapted by Joseph Bell. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company. The production was dedicated to National Drama Week, celebrated annually at this time by countless commercial and educational groups interested in the well-being of the theater. A drama guide giving complete background material for the Great Plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 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 some coin or money orders to Columbia University, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of the series. Next week at this same hour, Ibsen's Peer Gynt will be presented. National Broadcasting Company, New York.